All right, take your Bibles and go back with me to Romans chapter 1. Our text this evening will be found in verse 7 through verse 12. The apostle says, "To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ." Now I've entitled this message, Grace and Peace and Prayer. Grace, Peace, and Prayer. Now, as we've seen before, we've established the heart of the apostle in writing this book. Paul, a slave of Jesus Christ. As a slave of Jesus Christ, as a slave to the risen King, he wrote this book with a heart of a servant. Heart of a servant. And as we've gone over this last Lord's Day, that's how we're to receive it. As a heart of a servant. If we are believers, we are slaves. Bound slaves. Bond slaves. Now think of that bond slave. You remember the one who was free to go, and yet he desired to stay with his master. Well, they had to pierce his ear through with an awl, and he had to proclaim that he loved his wife, he loved his children, and he loved his master. And that man was a bond slave forever. That's exactly what we are. We are bond slaves to Christ forever, and gladly so, gladly so. And so we see the heart. We secondly saw the authority of this book. We should receive it, not just because it was from the servant of God, but because he's an apostle, one that saw the risen Christ and one that received his message from the risen Christ. That gives it an authority. And thirdly, we saw this, that the message of the apostle was the gospel of God. Not just the gospel of men, it was the gospel of God. It was concerning the whole scripture, which was concerning his son, Jesus Christ. So as Paul writes this, he writes, his intent is the gospel. And we know this, that there is only one gospel. There's not many gospels. And so if you go to a different place and you hear a different gospel, listen, it's not the gospel. If it differs from what is written in this book, it is not the gospel. Don't believe it. Don't follow it, no matter how good it sounds, and no matter how many people accept it. There's only one gospel. Paul says, if an angel from heaven come to you and preach anything other than what I've preached to you, let him go to hell. Let him be accursed. And so that's what every man of God says. If you preach, they preach anything other than this, Jesus Christ and him crucified. If you preach anything with that, let him go to hell. There's only one gospel. And so then, what is this gospel? It is concerning his son. It concerns his deity and his humanity, that Jesus Christ is God, very God, and man, very man. That by the Spirit of holiness, he came declaring to be the Son of God with power and with the Spirit of holiness. The Spirit was given to him without measure so that he should secure for all of his elect salvation. And then after he offered himself, what was the proof of his victory? He said the resurrection from the dead. He said, verse 4, declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness. How? By the resurrection of the dead. How do we know that's true? God raised him from the dead. And verse 6, he said, you also are called. You that believe, you are all, just as I'm called to be an apostle, I'm called to be a sinner saved by grace. That's how you were called. You were called to that. You may not have been called to the office of an apostle or an evangelist or a pastor, but you were called. You were called of Jesus Christ to life and faith in Jesus Christ. And so this is the foundation and sole mission of this letter, is to show forth the whole counsel of God concerning the salvation of his son. Now, he says to those who he's writing to in verse 7, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called saints. Called saints. You that are called of Jesus Christ, I want you to know this, you are beloved. And I'm going to show you the reason you're beloved is not because you're such a good person. That's how we judge other people. We love them because they are good people, or they're good to us, and we bestow love upon them. God does not bestow His love upon us because we were good. But I'll tell you this, you are loved with an everlasting love, an immutable love that no one can remove from you. Now what He tells us in Romans chapter 8, He says, nothing can separate me from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. Nothing. So regardless of your circumstance, today I did not feel loved. I did not feel the love of God coursing through my veins. I did not have the experience of God's love in my mind or heart. At times I thought maybe He didn't. But that's not true, is it? Regardless of my circumstance, if you've been called by Jesus Christ, if you've been called by this gospel to believe on Christ, Paul says this, you are beloved. You are beloved. And listen to this, you're called saints. You know what a saint is? It's not somebody that does a miracle that's not a saint. A saint is someone who is holy. Sanctified ones. You are made holy by the Spirit of God in the new birth. You're saints. Saint Joanne. That's just so. You know what? You were called to that. Called to it. And notice the reason for. Now, this is the purpose of Jesus Christ coming. This is why you are beloved. This is why you are called to be saints, holy ones. Listen, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. This, my friends, is the result of what the Son has accomplished. This was the purpose the Son accomplished it, and the result. What's the purpose? Why did the Son of God condescend to come into the world and save you? Why did God set His love upon you when you were unworthy of it? Grace. Grace. Grace and peace is the whole counsel of God from eternity. Now, I want you to understand that this concept of grace was kept a mystery, a secret. A secret. It was kept in the sacred trinity of God's purposes from eternity. And what Paul desires to do in every epistle is to reveal this mystery. When I preach to you the gospel, friends, I am preaching to you a mystery. It's a mystery. And so the purpose of this book is to reveal the mystery of the gospel of God's salvation to His elect. Go to 1 Corinthians. Look at how Paul puts it this way. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Let's read this together. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, he says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not in excellency of speech or wisdom concerning declaring unto you the testimony of God." Isn't that what he wanted to do to the Rome? He said later, just the next few verses, he said, "I'm ready to preach the gospel to you." Why? The gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believe it. Paul says the same thing. "I came, but I didn't come in excellency of speech, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified." What was his message? What do you suppose his message was to them? Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's what he said. I determined not to know anything else. I didn't care about anything else. I preach to you Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the power of the Spirit. Isn't this what men want to hear? Is they want to hear some guy stand up with great skill and entertain you. They want to be entertained. They want somebody with a lot of wisdom, don't they? Earthly wisdom. We got a lot of earthly problems. And what they want a man to stand up and tell them how to solve these earthly problems. We got financial problems. They want a man to stand up and tell them how to solve their financial problems. They got marriage problems. They want a man to stand up and tell them how to solve their marriage problems or their this problem or that problem. Paul said, I'm not here to do any of that. I'm here to tell you about Jesus Christ and not use the wisdom of this world. But this was my purpose, verse 5, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. You that believe on Christ, was it by the wisdom of the preacher you believed or the power of God? Look, if you believe under my ministry, I definitely tell you it's not the wisdom of the man. That is not the case at all. We know this, it is the power of God. That's where our faith came from. Howbeit, we speak wisdom. What's our wisdom? Same thing he preached, Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's our wisdom. Among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that came to nothing. We speak the wisdom of God in what? A mystery. This is something that goes against the grain of this religious world. They think the gospel is something everybody knows. They do. They assume that everybody knows the gospel. And I remember a conversation that my mother had with one of the curriculum writers for the Southern Baptist Association. She wrote curriculum for the Vacation Bible School or the something like that. Maybe that Our Daily Bread stuff. Anyway, she was writing stuff like that, and she made this statement that everybody already knows the gospel. We need to move on from that. Everybody already knows it. Excuse me. Paul said it's a mystery. It's a mystery. Even, listen, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of the world knew. You're talking about the most studied men in the Bible ever. He's talking about the Pharisees. He's talking about those that crucified the Lord. He said, then none of them knew it. For had they known it, they wouldn't have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither entered into the heart of man the things which God prepared for them that love him. This gospel that we preach, my friends, is a mystery. It's a mystery to the human nature, the natural man. It is a mystery. A mystery he'll never figure out. It'll never come to his mind. You know, this is the thought of natural man. Well, if I just go out into the woods, I'll see God and I'll experience God. Listen, said it didn't even enter into your mind or your heart ever. I hath not seen nor ear heard. You're not going to, not by these senses, you're not ever going to know it. Wait a second. I know it. You that believe know it. How is it that you know it? How do you know this mystery that was hidden with God before there was ever anything created? How do you know that? But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man that is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things which are freely given to us. It is only by the Spirit that a man could ever know the gospel of God. Only by the Spirit of God. Those things which are freely given to us. You who know the gospel, you know this. The things that Christ did, the things that Christ accomplished for us, they were freely given to us. Freely given to us. What are we talking about? We're talking about salvation. Salvation is freely given to us by what? The grace of God. So when Paul says grace to you, that gospel that he's preaching, he understands this. You received it only by the grace of God. Only by the grace of God. Salvation of God's elect children, my friends, was purposed by the triune God from eternity. Ephesians 1, according as he had chosen us in Christ, when? When were you chosen? Before the foundation of the world. This purpose of God's grace, my friend, was hidden. It was hidden from all his creatures. Do you realize this? When God made the angels in heaven and earth, nobody knew his purpose in salvation by grace. Nobody. The angels knew nothing of grace. Now the angels understood the holiness of God, but they knew nothing of grace. Satan, when he fell, and his angels fell with him, chained, they understood the justice of God, didn't they? When they sinned against God, they understood the justice of God. They didn't know anything about grace. Now Adam, when he was made, he knew those things too by the commandment that was given to him. He said, in the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. He knew the holiness of God to give that commandment. Adam knew the holiness of God, and he knew that the justice of God, because he said, in the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. He knew God was holy, and he knew God was just. What Adam did not know is that God was gracious. Didn't know anything about grace. But you remember when Adam sinned in rebellion, he sought to cover his nakedness with his own works. And then when he heard the voice of God, what did he do? He hid. He hid. Why? Because even in his lost condition, he maintained these two under things about God, that God is holy and God is just. He knew that. And so he cowered in the forest expecting what? Wrath. Why did he run? Why did he hide? Because he knew God was just and he had sinned. He knew it. And that day that God came down and sought out Adam, listen, I'm sure that heaven was silent to figure out what he was going to do. Man was his highest creation. And man had failed. What was he going to do? I'm sure that they had no idea what he was going to do. I'm sure that all the angels stood in awe to see God condescend to reveal himself to Adam and preach not a message of judgment that he did the other angels, but rather a message of grace. You remember that God did not, he condemned the world. Adam was judged. He was dead. In the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. He died. And his whole race died in him. Justice did fall on him. now God comes and listen to his voice. Adam, where art thou? You suppose that would be surprising to the angels to see that? They never saw anything like that before. Grace. Grace. And God preached to them a message of a Savior. Yeah, the world's ruined. Isn't this world ruined? Can you not see it? It's condemned. It's cursed. You have to work for everything you get. Nothing comes easy. This world is full of tears and sorrows and griefs. And you get over one and you fall right into another. That's a product of the curse. Even in the midst of this, God gives a message of hope. And he said, the seed of the woman. What was that? It's what Paul was telling us in this thing. It was a mystery. Nobody knew this was going to happen. But God. And God purposed it that when he failed. You realize that the Adam's fall was on purpose? Why? So that God might show his creation he is a God not of just holiness and justice, but a God of grace. How could he be gracious if everyone was holy? There must be a sinner to be gracious to. And Adam, God gave him that message of Christ coming into the world. And that he would make a sacrifice. I like this. God told him, he said, the seed of the woman shall crush the head of the serpent. Well, that was good news because it was a serpent that deceived. It was the serpent who is the father of sin. And he says, look, I'm going to crush sin at its very head, its very source. And they were happy. And you remember right after he told them that, he gave them a picture of it, didn't he? God took an innocent animal, killed it, skinned it, and covered their nakedness. Isn't that a picture of Christ? It's a picture of his sacrifice to cover our sin. And this same message was passed down not just to Adam and Eve, but through the holy prophets and the holy scriptures. Things that God purposed for those he loved. And so all who believe on Jesus Christ, we believe this gospel. We believe that gospel of God's grace concerning Jesus Christ that was preached to our father, Adam. I believe that message, don't you? The seed of the woman crushed the head of the serpent. And by his one act, he covered my nakedness. Now then, I no longer stand before God naked. I stand clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And so this is the message that was hidden and is now what, Paul said? Revealed. It's revealed. This is the message Paul desired that the Romans should receive. It is a message of grace. A message of grace. Matter of fact, God said this, my heart is inditing a good matter. Psalm 45 verse 1. My heart. The heart of God says this, I'm indicting a good matter. I speak of things which I have made touching the king. You know what God desired to speak about? The king. What rejoices the heart of God is to testify of his son. The things he made concerning his son. The heart of God, that word indicting means gushing. God's heart is gushing forth a good matter. And so what is the message of the gospel of grace? It is grace of God. Where is it found? Where is the grace of God found? In Jesus Christ. In Jesus Christ. Friends, this world thinks very little of Christ. Matter of fact, if they had their way, they would eradicate his name from history. And it's good news that they won't ever. But consider how little people think of Christ. They think of him as part of salvation. They think he does his part. He plays his role in this matter of salvation. But man has dignity. And man has will. Man has volition. And he can exercise his part in this matter of salvation. So they think very little of Christ. Very little of him. They think of him as a stepping stone to better things. They think of Christ as a stepping stone to health, wealth, and prosperity. If you want to be healthy, happy, and successful, then yeah, you need to believe in Jesus Christ, because that's what he wants for you. He wants you to be healthy and wealthy. He wants you to be prosperous. No. No, you that believe know that that's not so. That's not so. Jesus Christ, God's Son, friends, is not part of our salvation. He's all of it. He's the whole of our salvation. He is the whole matter of God. Jesus Christ, Him crucified, is the good news of God toward sinners. That Jesus was made a man so that He should both earn our righteousness and suffer for our sins. That Jesus Christ came into this world to be the only high priest and mediator for sinners. This was an act of God's grace and mercy to send His Son. And so now, to you that believe, God has given us His Holy Spirit to reveal this mystery. To reveal this mystery. That, listen to me, is still hid to them that are lost. Now, when I preach to you the gospel of Christ, I preach to you your sin, your depravity, your inability, your unholiness, your unworthiness. And God's people, once the Spirit of God touches their heart, they recognize that's true. That's just so. There's no way I can earn God's favor. And we become humbled, we become poor, we become destitute before God. And by the grace and power of the Spirit, we also hear of Christ's victory, of His accomplishment of the very things we need. Righteousness, peace with God, redemption, atonement for sin. Those things we need. And by the Spirit of God, we believe and trust in Him. But listen, why is it that the other people around us do not believe this gospel? Why do they not have any interest in the things of God? I'm going to tell you this. It is because God has hidden it from them. I know that's not very cosmopolitan of me. Not very modern of my thoughts. That's all right. I'll stick with the book. I'll stick with the book. Look at John chapter 12. John chapter 12. So I'm getting at this. You that believe. You that believe because of the grace of God. That's what we're getting at. Now look at this. John chapter 12. Look at verse 37. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. Isn't this what modern men want? They want miracles. They want to see something. Said, I'm not going to believe it until I see it. These guys, they saw it and they did not believe. He did many miracles in front of them, yet they believed not. Why in the world do you suppose they didn't? Was it an act of volition of their will? Is that what did it? Look what the scripture says. That the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Therefore, they could not believe. Because Isaiah said again, he hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes or understand with their heart and be converted, and I should heal them. These things said Isaiah when he saw the glory, his glory, and spake of him. Why is it that men will not believe? Because this gospel to them is a sealed book, and God's the one that sealed it. We've got children who don't believe. We've got family who don't believe. We've got those people that we would love and give our lives for that won't believe. And you think, you keep thinking, well, if I just do it this, if I could just... Stop thinking that you or I have anything to do with this. I cannot open this book to anyone. Isaiah 29, flip over there. Look at this. I want you to see this. And again, I'm emphasizing how much grace God has given to you by showing you what he has withheld from others. Isaiah chapter 29. Let's... make sure I get the right place. Okay, yeah. Read verse 9. It says, stay yourselves and wonder. Cry you out and cry. They are drunken, but not with wine. They stagger, but not with strong drink. For the Lord hath poured out upon you the spirit of deep sleep and hath closed your eyes. The prophets and your rulers and seers hath he covered. And the vision of all is become unto you as words of a book that is sealed, which men deliver to one that is learned, saying, read this, I pray thee. And he say, I can't. It's sealed. You got that? One that knows. One that is learned. One that has understanding. Look, you know what? I can't open this to you. That's what I'm telling you. I can't open this to you. I can point you to Christ. I can tell you, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And that is true. That is vitally true. But one thing is, I can't get you to see it. I can't get you to open it. So what are you gonna, what do men do? Well, they take it to an unlearned guy. He said, well, you can't help me, so I'm going to go to an unlearned guy. That's what he says. And he said, and the book delivered to him that is not learned, saying, read this. And you know what they say? I can't read. That's what false religion is. They read. They can't read. The book sealed to them, and you're asking them to read it to you. No, you can't. Why? This gospel that we preach is a mystery. It's a mystery. Salvation is hidden. It's sealed. But you who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, behold the grace of God to unseal this book to you. This book's unsealed. I know what this is about. When I read it, I understand it. I understand it. When it says sinner, I know that. That's not just, it's not talking about people out there. It's talking about this person right here. When it says that Christ died for sinners, my heart leaps. Because that's what I am. That's what I need. That's what he offered. I hear of his victory, that he didn't just make it possible. He actually did it. He accomplished it. His message to me is glorious. It's beautiful. It's magnificent. You tell me of his deity. You tell me of his humanity. You tell me of his offering, when you tell me of his sacrifice, when you tell me of his righteousness, when you tell me of his resurrection, of his ascension, you tell me of his coming again, and our heart leaps because I know that this book is about him. I understand that. I know. Now, how is it that this man knows? How is it that you know? But it's because of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Is the grace of God who has made us to know those things that God has freely given to us. I know this. God chose me before the world was that I should be saved. And every providence in the world was leading to that point. And every providence since is leading to bring me home. How do you know that? Because I know the book. Rather this, I know the one who wrote the book. I know the one whom the book speaks of. I know that Christ died for my sins and God accepted his offering. The scripture says, but this man, after he'd offered one sacrifice for sins, sat down forever, henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by his one offering, he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Those who believe on Jesus Christ, who are made holy by the grace and power of God. And what is the result then of grace? You see, the book is bound to everyone who does not have the grace of God. But when the grace of God comes, the seals are loosed. We understand the book, and the book is all about Christ. It's all about Christ, and what a glorious book it is. It is a book of God's grace and mercy. Salvation by grace without the works of the law. That's what we're going to study. This whole book of Romans is about salvation by grace. By grace. And once a person experiences grace, what follows? Go back to your text. To you that are Rome, beloved, eternally beloved, saints made holy by the Spirit of God. Listen, grace to you. You were saved by grace, and grace is how you continue, isn't it? You believe still? You still believe this book? How in the world are you ever going to finish? Everything's against you. Everything's against you. You notice that? I have. Everything's against me believing in Christ. How am I sure I'm going to make it? Well, because I was given this by grace, he's going to sustain it by grace. And what's the result of this message? The message of grace. Grace and what? What follows grace? Peace. Grace and peace. Friends, this is always the order. Grace and peace. You go throughout the apostles and writing his salutations, it is always what first? Grace. Then what? Peace. You will never have peace without grace. Grace. It's foolish for the heart to believe that you can have peace without grace. That you can have peace by works. And again, Paul is going to deal with this in Romans. He's going to deal with this matter of grace and works. You can't mix them. It's either of grace or it's of works. It can't be of both. And that's in Romans chapter 11. That's a long ways from us, but that's where he's going with this. So if you desire peace with God, grace comes first. And so peace with God at the exclusion then of an effectual, experimental grace of God in the heart of the sinner is nothing but an illusion. If God has not come to you and quickened you by grace, if you are not saved by grace, you have no peace. Isn't this true of works religion? There's no peace. You know why? The standard is always moving. Have you noticed that in works religion? The standard of being accepted is always moving. They have to keep adding because enough is never enough. One thing about grace is it's enough. It's enough. And so any work or action of man that is mixed with the work and action of God is not grace. Listen to what one definition of grace was. It means the unmerited favor of God. That's what it means. Unmerited favor. In other words, you do nothing to merit it. That's what grace is. One writer said, grace is the free desire, will, purpose, and act of God. It is the free desire of God, the free will of God, the free purpose of God, and a free act of God upon men who do not desire it, who will never will for it, or purpose, or act to receive it. It's an act of God. It's a will of God. And it's salvation. It is forgiveness. It is pardon from all sin, without any merit or value or action of those that receive it. God doesn't want anything from you. You that receive it, what does God want from you? What could you give? When God puts it in our hearts, we desire to give everything, isn't it? We desire to give everything because that a debtor to mercy alone, of covenant mercy I see. We are debtor to God's grace. And so, believer in Jesus Christ, consider the grace of God that chose you, the grace of the Father that made you accepted in the Beloved. Consider the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has redeemed us by His blood and by grace has forgiven us all our sins. Consider the grace of the Holy Spirit that effectually called you, that created in you. Paul says, back in Galatians chapter 6, he says in verse 15, he says, "For Christ in you, neither circumcision availeth anything or other circumcision, but what? A new creation." Consider the grace of God that created in you a new nature, a new heart, a new mind, by which you can understand the gospel, by which you can receive it now. It's the grace of the Holy Spirit that gave us the new birth, and you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. I think of that infant cast out. Remember, the infant, his parents were, he was a bastard child. His parents were heathens. And what did they do? They threw that child out in the wilderness to die. That's a picture of us. Our parents were sinners. We were nothing but bastards, left to die. And God said, "But when I passed by thee, it was a time of love." And He said, "I said unto thee, live." Eric, why are you alive? One day God stood by and He walked by you, polluted in your own blood, and He said, "Live." What else could you do? When God says to a man, "Live," what else can he do but live? And when the gospel came in power and demonstration of the Spirit and said, "Believe," what did you do? Was it an invitation? Did He ask you to believe? No, it was the same command that gave me life. It was the same command that gave me faith. It was the power of God the Holy Spirit in grace Scripture says, as the light shined out of darkness. As God commanded the light to shine out of darkness, He hath shined in our hearts, giving us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. The light of the knowledge of the glory of God. How can I glorify God? How can I be accepted of God? Where's that found? In the face of Jesus Christ. That's where it's found. What's the object of our faith? It's Christ. It's Christ alone. Now, there are many who profess to believe in Jesus who never experienced the new birth. If you've never experienced the new birth, your profession is a lie. Isn't it? If you've never been born again, you know what born again means, right? It means born from above. When people say, you need to be born again. This false preacher, he's preaching, you need to be born again. That was his message. You need to be born again. You need to be born again. Let me tell you how. And God struck him with silence. How can you be born again? What can you do to receive the new birth? What? What did you do to receive the first one? That's exactly what you're going to do to receive the second. I was born from above. The power of my birth came from God, who gave me life and faith. And we who are born again is not a reformation. Not a reformation. I'm not turning over a new leaf. You hear that? Well, he's turned over a new leaf. The problem is, it's the same old leaf, isn't it? Just turned over. I need a new tree. I don't need a new leaf. I need a new tree. It's not education. It's not adaptation to the gospel truth. How many people have you heard say, I've converted to Calvinism? Oh, don't do that. Don't do that. Salvation is not conversion to Calvinism or doctrinal truths. Salvation is conversion to Jesus Christ. And then by seeing Him, these doctrines are very self-evident. Calvinism is true, not by virtue of it being Calvinism, but by virtue of the person it's talking about. And so what is faith? Faith is the product of God's grace, a new heart. And what is in this new heart is peace. Peace. God has created in us a new nature that is holy. It said it is created after God in true holiness. So then, if there is a holy nature within us, then where's the conflict? There's no conflict between us and God. Why? The Scripture tells us in Colossians 1, chapter 1 and verse 20, it says that He hath made peace by the blood of His cross. Go to Romans chapter 5, and I'm gonna end here. I'm not going to get to the next part of it, but look at Romans chapter 5. We're going to get to this too. Paul says, therefore, being justified by faith. I'm going to ask you this. Did your faith justify you? Did your faith have any work in this matter of justification? No. No. Justification was by Jesus Christ, by the faith of Jesus Christ. Matter of fact, he tells us our righteousness comes by the faith of Jesus Christ in Romans chapter 3. Justification by faith. He justified us. Faith does nothing but simply receive that as the truth. Believes that as the truth. And so by faith is the evidence then of my justification. It has nothing to do with justifying me. It is simply the evidence that I have been justified. So being justified by faith, we have what? What do we have? We have peace. In this world? Is that what it says? We have peace with God. Who cares if you have peace with the world? If you have peace with God, it's all you really need. We have peace with God. How? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. See how everything reverts back to Him? Can you see it? Everything centers in Him. Everything. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. I think I'll get to it a little next time. Access. This is what grace and peace give us. Consider the grace of God that's been given to you, believer. That this book was sealed to you and you couldn't open it. There was nothing you can do to understand this gospel that was preached. It was a mystery. And the only reason you understand it is the grace of God. How great is that grace? The only reason that you have been redeemed is because of the grace of God. That Jesus Christ redeemed you out of grace. And the only reason you believe is because of grace. Let me ask you this. Can you look down on anybody? With that being the truth, is it possible for you to look down or condescend on any other son of Adam? No. Not if you're saved by grace. And if we are saved by grace, then listen to this. You have peace with God. I don't have to earn my peace with God. I don't have to make my peace with God. It's already made. Isn't that comforting? That your peace has been made. And because of that peace, listen, you have access to God anytime. Anytime. That was my next section to prayer, but prayer is important, isn't it? It's needful for us to commune with our God. And you have access and will never be rejected. Why? Because of Jesus Christ, you will never be rejected. How often do you listen, you lift up in prayer and just know there's no way? There's no way He's going to listen to me. He's not listening to you because of you. Isn't that good? I'm thankful. Not because of you. He's listening to you because He's listening to His Son who stands between you and God. So you have His ear all the time. Pray God will bless this to you. Let's stand and be dismissed in prayer.